Today on another creepy as hell episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, that 9 out of 10 veterinarians agree could turn your precious pet cat into a bigger slut than it already is. When a family decided to open a cleaning business in 1986, they expected nothing more than to come face to face with customers' trash. What they didn't expect was to come face to face with the spirits that haunt their customers' homes. Spirits that may not want them to invade their space, unannounced. That story, and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program, 855-853-4802, our phone number. If you would like to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
I'm good. Everything's good. I was going to give you a choice of one of two things for me to talk about. Either one, a listener contacting me, or number two, stuffy nose. Your choice.
Let's go with the stuffy nose.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Because no, you knew. All right. So what happened with the listener contacting you?
Well, listener content was great because a listener from the podcast had reached out to me. And I think we've been kind of discussing stuff back and forth. But she had reached out a couple of weeks ago asking me, you know, if there were some books that I really liked about ghosts. And not necessarily about theories and stuff like that. Like, I get into some of that kind of stuff. But she just wanted some really good ghost stories. And I couldn't, for the life of me, and I've read tons of them, I couldn't think of anything other than the damn Amityville Horror book, because that just, that in my mind, that's, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
But then she started telling me about a story. She is from the UK.
Okay.
And so she was telling me this, a story about a building there that she's had experiences in, and her mother has had, and I'm like, you've got to write in. Why haven't you written in? And she's, well, it's kind of long. And I'm like, you just send it in.
That's what I want.
And right. I'm like, that's what the show's all about. You send the stories in. So yeah. When we're done here, I'll tell you what the story is about. And you can kind of keep an eye open for it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And if anybody thinks that we want like super short stories, no, the longer, the better, actually. So, I mean, I do like, and I had to put a limit eventually on when people type in the stories. It's like, yeah, you must have at least 400 words or I'm not even going to look at it, because because it needs to have some substance to it. And even the smallest of incidents can have a ton of substance if people use context to kind of set the mood, set the scene, because that's what it's all about. It's not just I walked down the hall and I saw this. Great. Right. You know, give me your thoughts, give me your feelings, give me all that. And that's what makes a story make it onto the air. So if you're ever kind of like wondering, what do I look for? It's all of that. Those super long ones, some of my favorite, and some that you'll like remember forever. There's so many of those on the EPP episodes throughout the years, and they're just some of the best. I've even been digging back into some of those archives because we haven't heard some of them in like 8 years. Kind of like bringing some back from way back then just to refresh. And I don't remember reading more than half of them. I don't remember probably reading 95% of them. I know some people have far better memory than I do, but they're just so interesting, and there's so many good ones from back then too. So we'll kind of intersperse some of those that maybe were on an EPP episode 8 years ago into the regular show. Let's take a look here. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. Let's go to our first story of the day. Okay, here it is. Hey guys, my story is crazy. I'll try to explain the layout of a place the best I can. My parents started their cleaning business back in 1986. We'd clean everything from nasty apartments, found some very interesting and disgusting stuff, to banks, churches, and my favorite sarcasm, the urology clinic. I remember going in to help them and seeing everything from a nice little outline of a penis on a wall to papers describing post-care vasectomies. Yuck! Fast forward a few years and I started cleaning my own, and I got the offer to clean two separate mortuaries. And I was excited. I know it sounds bizarre to some, but I've always found scary, creepy things and the unknown after death interesting. When I first started back in 2017, it was creepy at first, but I became familiar with the sounds of the building they made, the creaks, the sound of the ice machine in the back. Until one night 2 years ago, I had to take my twin daughters, who were 6 at the time, with me. And keep in mind, this place is huge, with a big foyer area, 4 different staterooms where they place the caskets and flowers, and families come for viewings. I was about halfway done and in the middle of vacuuming this waiting area, which had 2 small chairs with the backs of a chair placed against the wall. They've been in this spot since I cleaned this place and have never been moved. So as I go to walk by these 2 chairs to walk into another room it's adjacent to, I see a shadow off to my right side against the wall, and it moved fast, almost like one of my daughters had come running up behind me and jumped on the chair to be silly. The chair hit the wall, and it shook. I could see the chair somewhat move, so I automatically assumed as soon as I took no more than 2 steps back to tell them to go back and sit in the foyer area and to be quiet that I would see my twins laughing and asking when I was going to be done. Well, that didn't happen. I stood there in shock as I leaned around the corner and could visibly see both of my daughters lying on the couches and playing on their iPads. They were nowhere near me or this room. Not even enough time for them to run, jump, and then get up and run back without me seeing them. I couldn't believe I just actually witnessed this with no explanation. I got out of that room as fast as I could and walked over to my daughters and asked if they had just come in, and they both said no. I was freaked out for months after that and still think about what it could have been. From then on out, every night that I would get done cleaning that place, which seemed like it took forever, I had reoccurring dreams where I was in a floating-like state, and any casket or person I've seen lying in one, I would dream I was floating or walking up to them to look down and would hear a loud boom, like a sound. I was pulled backward so fast by something and would wake up gasping and sweating. Yeah, the creepy thing that still to this day happens, and I can't explain it, is that on some nights that I'm there, I get this overwhelming feeling of being watched or something is behind me or looking at me. I guess these feelings even on days that there are no caskets in the viewing rooms and every room is empty. But then at the same time, there could be a casket in every room and I don't feel freaked out or any creepy feelings. What could this be? Does this mean that those deceased people are at peace when I don't have these feelings? And maybe when I have the overwhelming feeling of being watched, that maybe there is a presence there? The second mortuary I cleaned had a service they prepared the day before, and everything was sat out and looked very pretty. I was in the chapel area picking up flowers that had fallen off the casket, and as I bent over to grab one, I felt a hard push on my hip. I screamed and jumped sideways. Then a few days later, I'm standing in a doorway cleaning a window and I felt someone grab my long ponytail. Those are the most recent things for now. But those specific dreams have finally stopped, thank God. But during the first couple times I was waking up from these horrible nightmares, I was on the verge of telling the manager of the mortuary I just couldn't handle it. Thankfully that didn't happen, and I'm still strong 5 years later. I still from time to time see things out of the corners of my eye or get little flashes in the distance that I see, but for the most part, nothing crazy scary has happened since. Thoughts on that?
Well, I look at mortuaries and funeral homes and all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine anybody wanting their energy to stay there. Yeah. However, I do kind of look at them as a place where spirit or energy can hang out, can eventually move on, even almost like a train depot or something like that, a plane terminal where mm-hmm. people are coming and going. And so I wouldn't be surprised if something like that was going on in a location like that. I think there's other locations that are very much like that. I've even heard theaters can be that way. Ballrooms, all that kind of stuff, where a lot of people have gathered. There's just this energy that has kind of held on over the years, and it just becomes this portal where energies come and visit and go, or they transfer to other, I don't know, levels, or who knows. But yeah, I mean, and first of all, those places are scary. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you can, I always thought about being a mortician at one point. I really did.
Really?
Because, well, it was kind of creepy, right? I like the creepiness of it. I like the death side of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be like the typical, you know, overly spooky decor and the organ music. I wanted to have like a fun and happy time. But I didn't know if, you know, like... Ha-ha's happy hacienda of death would really go over all that well. If people really wanted clowns and stuff like that and balloons and, you know, somebody over in the corner making dog balloons for kids. So my ideas probably wouldn't work, but it's been a very big interest. In fact, last night I was on YouTube and I was watching videos of embalming. Just to tell you what I was up to last
Me
night.
Me too. No, I wasn't. Not at all. I cannot. I'm not good with surgery type stuff or anything with bodies and blood and all that. It's just I guess no. But no. Funeral homes all in some. I mean, especially I don't know the older ones and the new ones for the most part. I think almost all feel the same. I haven't really noticed much of a difference. But I do like the idea of. Someone creating one that's more happy, more like the people who would choose this one would be wanting it to have a celebration, and it's more party like, and it's not so much, you know, these dark rooms that are, you know, just kind of creepily lit and the carpets there from 1978. And it's just a downer.
Yeah. Something for like 2022. And, you know, even if the buildings are new, the decor is the same. They've got those damn standing lamps next to the coffins and, you know, stuff. What could we do to hippen it up enough that it could be a celebration of life instead of this, you know?
You basically make a club is what you do. You have a bar. You have
there you go.
It's a club-like atmosphere. But it's approachable for any age so everybody can, you know, feel good and have fun. And from the older, you know, grandparents to the kids... And you do that sort of an approach where it's literally a party. And it's not just like, hey, we got some soda over there and there's a little canister of gin if anyone wants to pour themselves a little spice. You know, it's like literally a bar. It'd be like a wedding venue kind of. But I think almost more celebratory and not like, you know, white roses. Just kind of just fun, you know?
Yeah. DJ, right?
Yes.
DJ in the corner.
Whole nine yards. It's going to happen. I can totally see at some point that's going to be a thing. And people are going to be like, when I die, I want my party there. And I just think you're going to see more things like that as Tony predicts the future.
Listen, I'm writing all those ideas down. And if
run with it,
you know, Todd's hip funerals kicks off, then you know why.
You do it. Yeah, I think that'd be great. That would be a really interesting concept. And I'm serious. I think it would be. I remember there was a funeral home back in our hometown. Remember Zach Roll Funeral Home?
Oh, yes.
It was like seemed to be like the family choice because I went to a lot of funerals there. And I remember as being a kid playing in that one because it's a spooky-ish kind of looking building to begin with. And the inside just continues on that feel. And I remember there's a big staircase kind of near the entrance and it went down and the lights were always off downstairs. Cause I think it's where they did the casket room and everything, but it wasn't like, you know, showroom hours when the funeral's going on. So it's just all dark and we would dare each other as kids to see who would go down the furthest into the staircase. And then one of the funeral directors would always come over like, don't go down there, kids. And then he walks away and we keep doing it. But
poor Grandpa Gus is in the other room in a, you know, pine box. And you guys are messing around trying to get down to see the dead bodies.
Hey, we were thinking there might be a club downstairs. And and so there you go. That could have been a whole, you know, we could have started it back then because that's what we wanted. We wanted fun. But I don't know. I don't. Do you think that would work with the party atmosphere, or would that be? Is that just kind of a crazy thing that I would be down for?
No, I think that would be kind of neat. You know, have like lounge couches all over the place, little seating areas that were different from each other.
Yeah.
No pews, no benches, no tables and stuff. You just kind of hang out. You can hang out at the bar. Some high top tables hanging out.
Yeah, where like groups of people can get together and they can all talk and. It's not like the procession line of, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. You know, as you go like 12 deep, it's, I think it's a different thing.
You could either have a DJ or they would bring in a comedian to do jokes about the person.
That
I mean,
would be
you could just do so many things with that.
That would be interesting. We should start this. We should be going to the funeral home business.
If you're listening to this right now and you take this idea, we're suing. I'm just saying that.
It is now, it's just being broadcast out there. That kind of copyrights it, doesn't it? Or it does something.
I don't know the law. We'll get you one way or another.
It does something. I don't know what it is, but yeah, anyway. Let's go to another story here on the program. This one says, hey guys, recently started listening to the show. You guys rock. I'm from Newcastle upon Tyne in the UK. When I was around 14, I went on a camping trip to a forested area with a local youth group with 15 other children and around 6 adult instructors. The area where we were staying is very remote and consisted of a clearing in the woods to pitch tents and an old cottage for the adult instructors to sleep in. When we arrived, we pitched our tents, cooked food on the camping stoves, and all was well until around 8 p.m. when a thunderstorm rolled in. For our safety, the adult instructors advised that we all spend the night in the dormitories upstairs in the cottage. We all went to bed around 9:30, and as there was no street lights or moonlight outside, it was pitch black out there. I remember scanning the room with my eyes before the power generator was turned off. I could see the door, all of the old rickety bunk beds, the fireplace, no fire lit, and an old-fashioned manual fire alarm that had to be cranked by hand. Then I heard the shout from downstairs, "Okay, lights off!" Then I heard the generator shuddering to a halt as the lights got dimmer and dimmer until it was so dark you could not tell if your eyes were opened or closed. Remember, I did not feel uneasy at all, only tired as I drifted off to sleep. I woke up, did not know what time it was, but I knew something was not right. I looked up and I could see the dim white light source 3 foot off the ground in the far left-hand corner of the room. Looking around, I could not see anyone shining a torch in the area, and actually, in fact, nobody else was awake. And then it hit me. The light source was self-luminous, and that is when I started to get scared. When I first went to sleep, the darkness was absolute, but now, because of this dull, glowing object, I could see the door, fireplace, bunk beds, fire alarm again. I sat there just looking at it for a few minutes, trying to figure it out. Then all of a sudden, it started to move across the room, and I could make out it had legs. The fear I felt was so great that I just wanted to bolt out the door, but it had moved between me and the door, so I was stuck in a blind panic. I switched on my torch, but it was still in my blue sleeping bag, so it made the room glow a dull blue hue. The entity must have been slightly brighter than the torch in the sleeping bag, as I could still see it. My heart was pounding so hard I could feel it in my throat. When I whipped the torch out of the sleeping bag, it must have been brighter than the entity, as I couldn't see it anymore. I lay there with the torch turned on all night. I was shaking so much the sound of the batteries rattling woke up the guy in the top bunk. I told him what happened, and neither of us slept that night. The worst thing was that we had to stay in the same room the next night, too. Keep up the good work, guys. Alan in Newcastle upon Tyne. Thoughts on that?
I love how they call flashlight torches there. That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you start doing it here? Just saying it to people? I'm like, what do you
think? Oh, absolutely. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's rubbish. You know, you start using the UK stuff.
Be great.
It's so weird because you hear that story and you start thinking alien. You start thinking, you know, entity. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? Because it really could go either way, depending on what that light being kind of looked like.
Sure. Yeah, I was thinking ghostly, but you're exactly right. I mean, it could really be almost anything, the self-luminous type thing. You hear about so many ghosts. You know, it's funny, on television, they're always representing ghosts as like these glowing figures. But I would say more times than not, it's like the darker than dark figure. Maybe it just doesn't translate well to television.
Yeah, and we call them shadows, but it's more than just a shadow. Because even with a shadow, typically, because there's light on either side of where that shadow is showing, you can see, you know, beyond it. You can see what's there anyway, even though there's a shadow over it. But when you talk about shadow entities or shadow people, it's so dark. It's like it's dark matter just standing in front of you. But yeah, I started thinking like, alien? I mean, what's going on here?
I don't know. I mean, it's what I found interesting is that the other kid didn't just tell him to shut up and go back to bed when he's like, I just saw this. Because I don't know that I would believe it in the middle of the night when somebody's telling me that. I would be like, right. Oh, I don't know. Or I don't know. Either that or I'd be really freaked out. It'd be one of the two, just depending on how tired I was. But that would just be a creepy experience to have. Another thing about shadow people, too, and I always, when I heard about them, the first thing I always thought was like, oh, on the wall or on the ground. No, when we say shadow people, they're like 3D entities. It's like the figure of a human moving through air in real time, but it's just a shadow outline. Is that how you see that, too?
That's the way I see it. And again, I think shadow entity or shadow people probably a really poor description of how it should be described.
Yeah.
It's almost like a person, but they're just complete. They're void of all light. There's mm-hmm. nothing there.
Yeah.
It's almost like somebody cut a hole in your vision and it no longer exists because they block everything out that they're standing in front of between you and the items. So
have you ever seen a shadow person?
Yeah. And it really took me by surprise because I had not seen one until this. We were using a laser grid doing some investigating mm-hmm. and was at a train, an old train museum. And we were seated at one location and there was a big, like long hallway between the sets of rows of trains and train cars. And down at the end, a laser grid would be like all these little points of green light. In fact, at Christmas time, people have laser grids on their frickin' house sometimes. They use those projection things. Mm-hmm. That's what a laser grid is like.
Sure.
So we had that up. And what you would see is you could see the poles of the support beams and stuff like that that ran down the way of this hallway. And then all of a sudden there'd be this all these lights around this one pole that would completely go out. And then they would come back. Mm-hmm. And eventually your eyes kind of focus there and you realize there's something sticking a head out around that pole. And then later on, we caught that on camera, but then later on, we actually caught it running on a train. And
oh, wow.
that was the freakiest thing I'd ever seen.
That is creepy. Is that in one of the episodes?
Yes.
That's out.
I think that is in episode 8 of season 1. Very good stuff.
Okay.
Like, if I wouldn't be there, you'd be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But it's like, holy crap.
That's Haunted State, which is on Amazon to watch. Yeah, that would be, gosh, wow. I can't say I don't think I've ever seen one. But I don't investigate much of anything, so.
But all the years I've investigated, that's the one time that I was sure I saw something and we caught it on video.
That's I want to watch that. I'm curious because I've watched some of the episodes. I don't think I don't remember seeing that one, but I'll look at them. Can you say anything about the, because I know you guys have been out again working on some stuff. Can you talk about any of that or is it?
Nope. Well, we went to a location that we had done, and I think it's out. We went to Summer Wind again a couple of weeks ago.
Ooh, yeah, the Summer Wind Engine.
Yep, and that's a place in northern Wisconsin that was reportedly haunted and burned to the ground, and there's all sorts of stories of evil there and sadness and all that kind of stuff. And we had gone a couple of summers ago, two or three summers ago, and we felt like what you do with a lot of investigating, you feel like you've got more questions when you walk away than you have answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were lucky enough to get back in there because it's in a very remote part of the state. The owners are very weird about who they will let on the property legally.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to get up there and investigate some more. And it was a really good time. I think we caught some stuff. You know, a lot of it is just now we got to go through all the stuff that we recorded, all the hours of video and audio and all that kind of stuff. So
what I've done a story on this on the Grave Talks many years ago, and I don't remember anything of it. What was the story of the Summer Wind?
And I'm going to have to paraphrase a lot of it because my memory is so shot, but guy builds it for his family. It's a very nice place right on West Bay Lake, which is right on the border of Wisconsin and Michigan. And these were the places where this particular place was not, but a lot of people from Chicago would travel up every weekend and spend time in northern Wisconsin because it was so secluded and beautiful and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So family built it, all this kind of stuff. There were stories about how This family had hauntings, and there was a story about how there was actually the owner shot some bullets at the basement door because he thought something was coming up after him and all that kind of stuff. Fast forward, other families lived there. Some people rented it for a time, and then the final family kind of left. And I got a chance to talk to a gentleman who knew that family very well. And just for whatever reason, one day they all left town and kind of left the house full of all their stuff. Not completely, but there was a lot of stuff left behind. And nobody ever knew why. And then it kind of went into disrepair. There was some talk about the town finally burning it down because of all the interest that was out there. But actually what happened was one night in the 80s, lightning hit the place. And within 15 minutes, it was just a huge blaze and completely a goner. So all that's there now, two chimneys from the house. You can see where the basement's still kind of there, and a wall built of boulders that turned out to be what was like the porch, the front porch over the lake. So it's amazing. And, you know, the old boiler's still sitting down there. You can see the radiator sitting down in the basement where they landed when the fire was. And it's so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You do have a story out on that, because I did listen to it before we went up just to get another take on it. So
I got to re-listen to that, because it's been many. It's so funny. My memory is horrible. There's so many things where I'm like, I know I talked to somebody, but I couldn't tell you what it was about because there's been so much. I think there was almost like an information overload sometimes doing this show on this topic, because there's just so many things that come through. All right, let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi. My story's, you know, related to my childhood, as many are. I grew up in a colonial type home close to the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And I know this from the history. It's an old town. It's located by water. It's got a rich history, as much as the East Coast does with colonials. So the house, it was situated. It was like a Cape Cod type home. It had two bedrooms upstairs, and it was separated by a hallway and a bathroom. And my brother and I were actually the ones that lived upstairs. And just thinking about it kind of makes me a little, my brother and I experienced. We seldom slept in our rooms alone. We typically slept in each other's rooms. He would typically end up on my floor or even sometimes in the bed because we were just too scared to really have a good night's sleep. Some of my young memories that I can recall is feeling somebody like touch my hand or my foot and pull it. And that's all it was. But you would look and there would be nobody there. You know, down the road, after talking with my mom, after we had even moved out of the house, we realized that, you know, we all kind of experienced that same thing. She said it. She seemed that the activity was a little worse or heightened when she was pregnant with my younger brother. But anyways, we would recall, like, sitting there in the living room, all relaxed, watching TV. And then all of us look to our backside all at the same time, recalling that there was actually nothing there, but we all felt like something was looking at us in the doorway. The scariest thing that I can say in that house growing up would probably have to be the little gremlin thing that used to sit at the edge of my bed. I remember multiple occasions. I can't even tell you how many times a week it would happen. But I would wake up middle of the night and I would look at my bed and there would be just something high enough to where it was right above my bed frame, just sitting there staring at me. And as time went on, it would scare me to the point where I would have to sleep with pillows over my head. I could not look at the room around me. I was petrified. So I'd have to sleep with this like fort of pillows over my head. Well, I was around 10 years old, 11 years old. And it was there one night, and I finally got, I guess, balls to sit up and confront it because I was just so tired of it. And it was gone. It left. As soon as I sat up, it vanished. And a couple months go by. I'm thinking that the thing over my bed is gone. I don't have to worry about it sitting there staring at me in the middle of the night. I didn't feel like it was. I remember waking up one night not feeling too well. Actually, my heart was racing. I just didn't feel well at all. So I was going to get up and tell my mom. Her bedroom was downstairs, and I pulled the blankets over my head, and there was a thing standing in my doorway. It was tall. It was lanky, and it looked like it was, I don't know, the best way I can describe it was just flowing lace. And I remember that scared me so bad. I didn't sleep in my room for several months after. I slept downstairs on the couch where we had a fold-out bed because I was just too terrified to go back upstairs in that bedroom. So when my mom told me we were moving to Ohio, I, needless to say, was excited to get out of that house. So that's just a portion of the haunted stories that I have in that house. Later finding out that home actually came in possession of several people. They had, taken possession of the home, and a couple years later they had moved out. So who knows what had happened. Maybe those people experienced something similar to what I had. I don't know. But I can tell you that is something that definitely stick with me for the rest of my life, and I'll never forget it. I want to appreciate you guys. I actually just found you guys out the other day, and I was hooked. So thanks for what you do, because there's people out there that don't give credit to this, and there is obviously something out there. We just don't know what it is. So thanks again, and I look forward to hearing more from you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for sharing that story. Thoughts?
Whenever, people talk about a haunted house, the first thing I start thinking of is, and I'm a big proponent of this, and that's, having the conversation with whatever's there, like either, yeah, I'm okay if you stick around, but here's the ground rules, or saying, you know what, you're not welcome here anymore. You got to get the heck out. But then when you start talking about, tall figures in the door and creepy stuff like that, it's like, hell no. Let's put a stop to that right away, because I can't prove it. And I, I never want to put fear in somebody's mind, but something projecting themselves in that way, if they're not actually that type of entity, but mm-hmm. they're projecting themselves that way, I can't be really wanting to do you any good, I'm not saying they're evil. I'm just saying, get the fuck out.
Sure. I heard an interesting theory today on some things when it comes to like older homes, and now this wouldn't explain necessarily objects moving on their own, but it does almost kind of explain, though, maybe there isn't objects moving on their own, maybe there is a psychological reason for those sort of things happening. It seems like a lot of older houses have more of the spooky, more of the big, creepy, it just plays into the aura of the house already being kind of dark and old. Those things I would just say statistically seem to happen in places like that more. It was on the Bill Maher's Club Random podcast. He had Jack Osborne on, and they were talking ghosts for a little bit. And Jack brought up one idea, and he's like, I don't know, it's kind of a theory that I'm kind of wondering about is what about, the environmental factors of the old home? There's probably mold somewhere in this home. People can trip on things like mushrooms and things like that. Could there be some sort of mold, or even, that mushrooms that have been growing in the walls for so many years and kind of permeated, dried out? It's just in the air. It's in the dust of what flows through the home, unless it's been gutted. There'd be that much more built up in an older home than a newer home. And that would then lead to more hallucination type effects on people.
I think it's a great idea and a great thought concept, because, we already know that stray EMF, electromagnetic fields and stuff like that can make you hallucinate, can give you skin conditions, all that kind of stuff. And we know that when we investigate a location, one of the things we look for is that. So we may need to broaden the things we're looking for while investigating to include, more environmental kind of stuff. And I think usually we do a good job with that. We take a look at, heating and cooling and pipes and all that kind of stuff to see if knocking could be that. We do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a great point. It's not always a ghost.
Yeah.
Now, if you, like you said, if something's moving or, maybe you can't necessarily wash that away, but yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. And actually, he's somebody that I have some respect for is Jack Osborne, because he's done a lot of investigating and he does try to, I think there's some sensationalism, but I think he tries to look at things very square and kind of, you know, think them out before he goes, oh my God, it's a ghost, it's a spirit, it's a demon kind of thing.
Yeah, I've never watched his show. I mean, the last time I think I remember seeing him in anything was back 20 years ago on when the Osbournes on MTV. But I know he does some, a lot of the travel type stuff and some ghost stuff, but it was just interesting. I want to actually go check out his show now because it's like, oh, I didn't know if it was just kind of like, here's a celebrity investigating ghosts. So he seems to genuinely have an interest in it. So
yeah, he does.
No, that was just an interesting one that I hadn't really contemplated yet of that type of an environmental factor, which I think, I mean, wouldn't it explain all hauntings? No, but maybe it's a culprit in several that are more so just they seem like they could be something you're hallucinating on. I don't know. It's right. an interesting thought. Again, more questions than answers. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or on the Patreon app. Search Real Ghost Stories Online or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new one every single week, more than 400 now. You also get the full archive of episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and advanced access to our episodes weeks before they go public. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. All the links there for however you would like to sign up. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.